All right, good morning. It's great to be here. And it's great that I found where I put my notes. That's wonderful. All right. I had them on my phone, but it's not as nice to have to look off of that. So, it's good to see everyone. It's great to see the visitors. Good to see Uncle Reuben and Katrina, Mary, and the other guy here. And there's some visitors here. So welcome, everyone. And I also like to always welcome the local congregation, because without you, I wouldn't be up here, that's for sure. The message today, I had mentioned in sharing time about my realization again of the impact that the truth of God's word in our lives, how important that is. That is going to be involved in the message today. Father's Day was not long ago, just last week, right? Is that when Father's Day was? And I wasn't here. I was actually camping with a family camp out. We had a wonderful time there. Quite a bit of rain, but it was cooler weather, so I guess it was a good trade-off. Had a good time there, for sure, but didn't miss not being here. But I wanted to, in talking about, thinking about Father's Day, this message kind of stems from, I wanted to have a message to fathers. I have a heart for not just us as fathers, but us as guys, as men. And it's directed at men, but the ladies, one reason I'm sharing it today is for ladies to be able to weigh in. Hopefully we'll maybe spark good discussion with you and your families. So the title for the message is an excerpt from the Lord's Prayer. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that's the kind of a lengthy title, but that's the title for the message today. And I want to talk about leadership. Now, when I say the word leadership, there's going to be something, some type of leadership that I think comes to your head. You've got a definition for it. That definition can be affected by a lot of different things. Culture you grew up in, the community you grew up in, for sure. Culture, also whether you're a man or a woman, or a boy or a girl. Leadership, the word leadership and what that means to you, it can mean different things to different people. But there's also, I guess what I want to do today is look at what I believe is the biblical definition of leadership, and I want you to evaluate your definition of leadership. I want you to compare it with what we talk about today, and again, it might start you on a path of confirming what you've always thought. It may start you on a life-transforming path where it's totally different than what you thought. It's interesting, the title for our Sunday school lesson, it was Protecting and Directing Our Homes, something like that. But it crossed my mind to actually look at the Sunday school lesson, but I had enough study to do to keep me busy, and I didn't. So the first time I looked at the Sunday school lesson, had any idea what it was about, was when I got to church. And that's, whether that's a good thing or not, probably not a good thing. But that's how it was. So this message today doesn't have anything to do with the lesson, even though there may be some overlapping thoughts. So I would like to look at leadership in some different areas in our lives. So first, as a father, and also as a husband, leadership as a pastor, and leadership as a man. Those are all different. There's some different aspects or some different verses I'd like to bring out in relating to each of those different positions we find ourselves in as men. And so the first one I'd like to look at is as a father. And there's a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to be coming up with three different words that would describe, and really one word. I feel it's kind of one word, and then there's two that build on it. That would perhaps define leadership for us. So when after today's message, hopefully when you think of leadership, those three words will come to your mind. So Ephesians 6, verse 4, and we'll read verse 4, and then we're going to skip down to verse 10. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's something I want us to keep in mind. The word, the terms nurture and admonition, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That is going to be a defining verse for us as fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, but I'm going to be focusing on the next section here, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And so then he goes on in the following verses and talks, even before verse 4, he talks to children. And in Ephesians 5, he's talking to wives and husbands at the end of Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 6, he talks to children, he talks to fathers, he talks to servants, and he talks to masters. So you've got that list. You've got wives, husbands, children, servants, and masters that he's talking to. So he is talking to fathers when he gets to verse 10. Fathers is somebody, is part of his audience. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren. So I want you to think about this as a dad with a family, or as a husband and your wife, or as a man that may be in a leadership position of some kind. My brethren, be ye strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Very important for a leader. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That is one of our words that I want to remember to describe leadership. So keep that one in mind, truth. That's the first thing that's mentioned in wearing the armor of God. The very first thing, have your loins girt about with truth, because that truth is so foundational to the rest of how you view leadership, to the rest of your understanding and knowledge of your role. Is truth. Without truth, truth is foundational to life. Without truth, there's no life. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So, looking at the armor here, backing up and kind of looking at the overall, like we pulled a word out of it, we pulled truth out of it and wrote that down. But now, what do you see when you look at the whole armor? Almost the entire armor is used for what? Not the entire armor, but almost the entire armor. Protection, okay. And so I will go ahead and say that the entire armor would be used for protection, even though some is called for offense and some for defense, you could say, but it's all there to protect. Protect you and to protect those that are under your leadership. So protect is another word. So let's keep track of that. So now we're going to move on and look at, and some of these, you know, this is not going to be exhaustive by any means, but this verse, this next verse, has to do with husbands, and I feel is like a, there's a lot that, a lot of verses we could use to talk about husbands and wives. You know, we have Ephesians, we have various other references. This is Ephesians 5, verse 23, if I want to read that. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And I feel that verse is kind of a culmination of scriptural teaching on a husband's role within the home as head of his wife, would be this verse. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, what does it mean by he's the Savior of the body? Well, it's not hard to understand when we look at it as Christ and his church. Christ is the Savior of his body, the church. He offers us salvation. The word Savior, of course, comes from the word save. And save is a fairly common word in the New Testament. But when you look at the description in the Strong's on the word save, there's two words that are used to describe the word save, and it is to deliver or protect. So there's our third word, deliver. And so we want to look at the concept of truth. Through truth, we are offered deliverance and protection from evil. We're delivered from evil, we're protected from evil. And when you think of the title, it's matching up so far. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's something that, you know, that's our prayer to God. And that's what God does for us. And, you know, God delivers us and protects us from evil. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. In other words, he represents Christ, and his relationship with his wife represents the relationship that Christ wants with his church. So there you're starting to see a correlation a little bit there. So let's look as a pastor. Again, a lot more that could be shared, a lot of different verses, but 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3 are what I would like to use for a pastor. It says, feed the flock of God which is among you, not taking oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock, which ensamples would, I think, simply mean being an example to the flock. So something to keep in mind for a pastor, something I always like to point out, it uses the idea of a shepherd and sheep. And there's an element, it's scriptural teaching, that we could be, like a pastor would be considered like a shepherd and the church a flock of sheep. However, that only goes so far. Remember that there's only one good shepherd, and that is Christ. So I as a shepherd and you as sheep, to me, what does that do? Okay, I'm the smart one here. I have the brains, and I have to figure out where you're going to go for pasture, where you're going to drink, I got to lead you in and out. You can't think for yourself. Well, that's taking it too far. We are as shepherds as we care for the sheep. But when it comes to value, when it comes to importance, when it comes to being on the same level, there's no difference in importance and value. In other words, that's why that I as a pastor have, I made this request when I became ordained, that my opinion would not count above anyone else's at church. Because, you know, just because of my position. If you value my opinion, I want to have earned it by being able to share wisdom, being able to, to be able to have a good understanding where my opinion is valued based on that, not on my position, if that makes sense. So I am considered a shepherd in that I care. Okay, what does a shepherd do? Well, let's come back to that. Yes, he leads. He does lead. And we want to look at then in a little bit how he leads, how a shepherd actually leads. And that can be so much, there's so much in there. It's kind of where we're going to end at, but for husbands, fathers, and church leaders. Okay, I want to look at as a man. And again, this is something that I feel that, you know, this message, my heart is, of course, with everything I have, I want to preach the truth of God's word. So this is something I'm presenting to you, okay? So I encourage you not to just take it and swallow it. You as a leader of your home, I'm preaching to you and your family, very likely, this morning. So listen to what I say, and you know, you do your own study. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11, I'd like to turn to, and we want to look at several verses here. Verse 3, simply giving the headship order. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. So that's something that I want us as men, as leaders, we cannot forget that. We know it in our head, but how does that carry out in the way that we lead our family? The decision doesn't end with you. The buck doesn't stop here, you could say. You have a head. Your head is Christ. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. And the head of Christ is God. So it gives the headship order there. And then it goes on, and then we're going to jump down to verse 7 for that. It says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." So why is man head of woman? And how does that work out? You know, it depends on how you define leadership as to how that works out for you in your home. And I do want to also point out that one reason that this leadership has been on my mind a lot is because I've recently studied on submission. And I did preach one message on it, but it was a condensed version. I do have a full podcast on submission called Submissive Thoughts, and you can find that on the Bethel Chapel website. That is bethelchapel.life is the website for that. And you can find it under the podcast section if you would be interested in listening to that if you haven't heard it. And so in studying submission, that's what made me start thinking about leadership. It's kind of the other side of things, you could say. You know, when Adam and Eve, yes, I'm going way back to the beginning here. When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Eve was tempted of the serpent, you know, there was a decision made that was to disobey God. Did Eve realize it was disobeying God? I think she did at some level, probably didn't know fully. But one thing I'd like to say about Eve is that, and about women in general, a woman was never created to be in a leadership position. She was created to be a help to her husband. That's why Eve was brought on the scene in the first place, to be a help meet, or a help that was fit for Adam, a good fit. And so that's why she was created. Okay, what was Adam's role in it? Too often, I think we get the leadership role confused with the man has to make all the decisions, and the way the woman helps him is simply agreeing with him. We would say that's not true, but how does it work out in your situation? Is it your job to control, or is it your job to call for submission in your home? My answer to that would be no. That's not, that is what the Bible talks about lording over God's heritage. When we demand control, submission, and we make rules and we expect the wife to follow as she is, as if she was a child. That is not the biblical definition. Now, I feel when we look at these words, and I'll read them here, truth and protection, and or I'll just say protect and deliver. And you look at Eve in the garden being tempted. You know, Adam, I feel the way that it was set up, it was his responsibility to provide protection for Eve. And the Bible doesn't describe why he wasn't there, but he wasn't there for whatever reason. But he could have. I feel that as a team, if they'd have been together and the tempter would have came, Adam could have delivered and protected Eve. How? By combating deception with truth. So, and another thing I'd like to say is, and this is something that, you know, maybe you feel differently, but I feel that, okay, woman is created in the image of God, and a man is created in the image of God. And I will say this, that I believe they are both representing God it's of equal importance. But I do feel that they represent different parts of God's nature. And a woman, she would represent perhaps the more emotional, vulnerable part of God's nature. And so the part of God's nature that is more like a man provides protection for the part of God's nature that is more vulnerable and emotional, you could say. So I feel the reason the man is the head of the home is because of the part of God's nature he represents. Maybe you're like, ooh, I don't know about that. But for Adam, if you think about it, that his primary responsibility in leading Eve and providing leadership for her was not control, was not to demand submission, but it was to provide protection and deliverance through truth. Because Eve was pulled, you could say, what's an opposite word of deliver? She was bound. And she was, what's an opposite word of protect? But she was bound and taken in. She was deceived because of lies. She knew truth, but she decided to listen to lies. And so when you see those three things being present, truth, protection, and deliverance, evil cannot harm you, cannot harm your relationship with God. So again, the primary role for Adam would have been to protect his wife in being her leader. But, you know, we see that when she was deceived, she in turn deceived Adam and they both fell. So, verse 8 then, okay, we'll read verse 7 kind of, this is what we've been talking about, verse 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man, in that it's his responsibility to protect her. She represents him, you could say, in a marriage relationship. Then verse 8, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. And if anyone feels they have a perfect understanding of that verse, you're welcome to come share it. I will give you my thoughts on it. But I feel that, okay, sometimes the King James can translate things in a way that we would understand maybe a little differently with better translation means today. For this cause ought a woman to have power on her head because of the angels. The word power would probably be better translated as authority. Authority on her head would be better translated as over her head. That's my opinion. It has been translated over, that Greek word has been translated over 40, almost 50 times in the New Testament. But but not as many times as on. But it seems to fit well, I think, with the text to say, for this cause ought the woman to have authority over her head because of the angels. And because of the angels, to me, there again, it speaks of protection. Protection from deception. When the devil came and tempted Eve, there should have been protection there for her, and there wasn't. Then in verse 11, he says, "Nevertheless, neither is the woman without the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God." There, I think he speaks against making demands and commands as a husband, but he brings both into equality as a team. So that's about the section as a man, being a leader as a man. And could also kind of fit in the part of leadership as a husband. But I chose to put it under there because it does work out somewhat the same way in a church setting, I think. All right. Now I want to look at, in closing, how Christ, the example he left us, and how he leads. Because we find in Ephesians that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And, of course, we know that, it doesn't specifically mention children there, but I think it could just as easily say that we are to love our families the way Christ loves his church. And Christ has given us examples of how we should lead as men. And, again, we're looking at these three words and how they fit: protect, deliver, and truth. And how those define, give us the biblical definition of leadership. So let's turn to John chapter 10. Very familiar verse. And I want to, at this point, kind of put these words in order, where I feel that, again, the husband or the pastor, his primary role in leadership is to provide truth to those he leads. There was a quote that I wanted to share. I say it's a quote. It's something that I had written down, and I don't see it in those notes. I might have them here. Yes. Okay. This is something that I wrote down, and I want you to think about this. How you understand your role as a leader will define for you those you lead. That might be a little bit of a mind twister. Let me read it again. How you understand your role as a leader will define for you those you lead. How you understand leadership will change the way, or will determine the way, that you view those that you are to be leading. And it will determine your response when you feel any kind of disrespect, or you feel that somebody's not submitting to you, be it a child or your wife, how you view your role. In other words, I feel the way the Bible would teach, what we're looking at today, of our primary role being to deliver, to protect, and to provide truth, or to provide deliverance and protection through truth to our families, to our congregation, that the respect for me as a pastor will depend on how well I'm providing that. When you look at submission as something that you could say, submission can only be in place when there's protection, when there's the proper things provided. In other words, when your job as a person, your role is to protect your faith and to provide an environment through, like reading Mark 4, providing an environment for your faith to grow, that you have to protect your faith. Now, if you are in a position where, you know, especially as a wife, you may have an abusive, controlling husband, that may make it very hard for you to just meet all the demands and all, you know, everything that is required and still maintain your faith and hope. Now, in situations where there's persecution or where there's nothing you can do about the situation, God's grace is always there. God's grace is sufficient. But we're looking at how you, basically, how you view leadership will determine how you view submission. And I feel, looking at it from this standpoint, if my wife is not submitting, I would have to ask the question, why can't she? Because very likely, when these things are provided, she wants to with everything she has. She would like nothing better than to be protected, than to be delivered, than to have truth. And but so often for me, the natural thing is to automatically rise up and say, why are you not submitting? And I point the finger at her, when most often I would say, and it's been that way in my life, in my situation, when my wife, when I didn't feel she was being submissive to me, it was because in hindsight, I realized she couldn't. She couldn't in good conscience submit to me, because that would mean losing what she had in her walk with Christ. Because I was providing control and demands and demanding respect and things like that, rather than saying, follow me as I follow Christ. And again, turning my eyes away from what hurts me, if I'm feeling disrespect or if I'm feeling that someone is working against me, to turn my eyes away from that and begin seeking after Christ, realizing that, well, I have to be sure I'm seeking Christ with my whole heart. Forget that situation as much as you can. Sometimes it's hard to do. But I think then God can work and speak in your life. And you can begin to provide that protection, that, you know, through truth, provide that protection and deliverance to your wife and your family. Okay, John 10, in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I'm come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. So I'll stop reading there. But something I'd like to point out is the protection that he's providing here for the sheep within the fold. What are the walls of the fold? Think of your loins being girt about with truth. The shepherd provides a safety through truth. It's through truth. It was Christ proclaiming truth that caused the devil to flee. That's how we resist the devil, is by turning and trusting in truth, the truth of God's word. And so he's protecting against those that want to steal, kill, and destroy. That's who he's protecting, the sheep that he's leading. And I think that's a worthy thing for us as leaders, that is our primary purpose as a leader, is to protect those we lead from thieves, robbers, those that want to, and with that is, often thieves and robbers bring in heresy, they bring in false teaching, you bring in deception. So when you see Paul told the Corinthian church, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have not many fathers. He considered him a father to them because he was the one that brought them to the faith. Hopefully that is something you can say for your children. And he considers himself a father. And the way you see him caring for his flock, you know, when he started churches in different areas, it was very common, I think often, when he would start a church and he would get it established and move on in his missionary journeys, there would be Jews, often Jews, that would come in behind after Paul had left, and they would begin spreading false teaching of some type. Often it involved, you know, they would, yes, you can serve Christ, but you must follow this or that of the law of Moses. And a lot of Paul's letters that he wrote to the churches, his overall theme or reason for writing seems like it is to combat false teaching, to provide truth for them rather than confusion. And through that, he was being their father. He was being their leader by providing truth for them in his letters. Another thing that's interesting to me, he says here that if I am the door, verse 9, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. So you see safety there. So with protection is there safety in your leadership. So when you look at pasture, what's pasture? That's food for the sheep, right? That's where they go to eat, graze. And when you think of food, without pasture, the sheep would be, for one, unhealthy, probably would end up starving and die without good pasture. And think about this in your spiritual life and the spiritual life of your family. Spiritual food. Without spiritual food, you will be unhealthy at best and perhaps die. But with proper pasture, with proper food, there's life. There's life there. And Christ, as the good shepherd, he giveth his life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. And I like the thought that he says there, they go in and out and find pasture because of the protection that's provided for them. And I like that thought that for us as husbands, fathers, pastors, as men in general, that those in our lives that we are called to lead, that we could provide these three things, but really two things in the form of truth. When we provide truth to those that we come in contact with, to those that we're called to lead, it brings protection and it brings deliverance. And in that, I'd like to come again back to the Lord's Prayer, where our prayer as a father and as a husband, as a pastor, as a man, should be lead us, I mean, for everyone, but lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then as we receive that, we can pass it to those we come in contact with, those that we are leading. And our leadership position becomes a very attractive thing to be under. When you think of the word leadership, when you think of the word submission, what do you think of as a husband, as a wife, as a child? Does it speak control? Does it speak of respect? Does it speak of obedience? Or does leadership and submission speak of safety, protection, deliverance, guidance, wisdom, understanding? Does it speak of those things? Things that you would desire to have in your life. I would like to close now for real. That was a long in closing there. But Proverbs 2 talks a lot about wisdom that comes from God and seeking after him. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Do you see protection there? Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. There you see deliverance. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Take note there. The wisdom of God provides deliverance and protection from evil men and evil women, from men that want to deceive, from women that are immoral and want to pull you away. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. May God bless you as you think about that. And let's pray for each other as men, because we need wisdom and understanding, especially it seems in today's world. And God bless you.